Welcome to another episode of Formulation Masters, a podcast brought to you by Cargill. We've been catching up with some of the top ingredient and application experts in the industry, learning how to address common formulation challenges. Today, I'm joined by Aaron Rottermacher, Cargill's label-friendly product development specialist. Together, we're going to explore the secrets of creating a great culinary sauce. Aaron, you've been our go-to expert in this space for a while now, and I know you have a real aptitude for simplifying recipes, especially sauces. What is it about label-friendly formulation that you find so appealing?
Well, professionally, I've worked on label-friendly formulation from both sides of the bench. So I was a CPG product developer in my past life, and now with Cargill as a technical account manager for our texturizers business. So I've always loved a good challenge, which probably explains my passion for label-friendly product development. It's a real balancing act, but I enjoy helping developers construct products that are made with ingredients their consumers are familiar with, but still deliver all that functionality needed to commercially scale the finished product.
Before we go too far, let's start with the basics. What makes a great sauce anyway?
So for me, it's about using simple, clean flavors that enhance the other elements of the dish, not detract from it. So when I'm cooking, every ingredient I add is intentional and it serves a purpose. And that's whether I'm at home or in the lab. So now the type of ingredients I rely on for finished consumer goods might be a bit different than the ingredients I add in my home kitchen. And that's just simply because those CPG products need to stand up to all kinds of abuse, from commercial scale up to distribution realities, but the concept remains the same.
Still, we ask a lot of our commercial sauces. It's no wonder formulators pack recipes with so many ingredients, some of which aren't particularly consumer friendly. Is it really possible to infuse these CPG sauces with a home-cooked flair?
I believe so. So consumer mindsets have shifted to more mindful eating, changing not only what ingredients they find acceptable, but it's also altered their expectations for the finished product. And I'll give you an example. So I saw a fruit juice at my local grocer the other day. No stabilizers of any kind had been added. So as the product sat, the fruit settled to the bottom and the water sat at the top. Now, if you rewind 10 years ago, you would have never seen something like that on a product shelf simply because consumers would have found it unacceptable and they wouldn't have purchased it. But in today's environment, that consumer desire for clean label, not only as an ingredient label, but how that product looks and feels more natural has surpassed the need for, you know, say a fully homogenous beverage that may look or feel over-engineered. So that's an extreme example, but it really delineates the need for us to look at the consumer first. So what is it that they're finding acceptable and what characteristics are truly driving their purchase intent? In recent years, consumers have placed such an emphasis on cleaner sounding and more familiar ingredients. It's really forced us as an industry to come up with solutions to meet their changing needs. The good news for developers is that there are many more tools for them to work with today than, say, even 5 years ago. And then ingredient suppliers like Cargill, we're continuing to develop new innovations with this label-friendly goal in mind.
Consumer expectations may be changing, but other formulation realities remain the same. Where do things like pH and fat content figure in when it comes to sauces? Do you need different tools for an acidic sauce versus a high-fat cream-based application?
Yeah, so that's a good question. pH certainly has an effect on starches and other texturizers. Generally, the more heat, acid, or shear your product is exposed to, the more robust the tool needs to be to withstand those harsh conditions. So in the starch world, we call things like pH, heat, and shear process tolerance. So my job is to ask those questions of the developer so I can help direct them to the right label-friendly ingredient to fit their specific needs. And then when we get into the higher fat cream-based sauces, emulsion stability becomes very important. So the product doesn't break and separate over time over the course of this shelf life. So in these instances, we'll work with developers to find that right mix of lecithin and then label-friendly starch. The lecithin helps emulsify and then the starch helps stabilize that emulsion for a clean label system. In addition, you can use starch and then other label-friendly ingredients to help mimic that fat perception perception. And this lets you cut back on ingredients like cream and butter, which are prone to breaking, and will help you result in a more stable sauce. And then as an added bonus, it also helps you manage formulation costs because things like cream, butter, and those dairy ingredients can be pretty expensive.
I assume you also run into different challenges depending on whether you're formulating a refrigerated, frozen, or shelf-stable sauce. Can you talk through some of those considerations?
Yeah, so for refrigerated storage for a prepared sauce, it's like staleness for bread. So the refrigeration temperature really speeds that process up. So you need a texturizing agent that can withstand the cool temperature. And the big ask here is finding a starch that prevents syneresis from occurring and won't retrograde over the course of the product shelf life. Then if you move to a shelf-stable system like retort or a canned product, we need ingredients that will withstand the harsh environment of the retort process. So that's relatively high temperatures for a long period of time. Adding to that challenge, these products have incredibly long shelf lives. So, and some even need to have cold storage stability as they can be exposed to severe temperature fluctuations during distribution, you know, depending on their shipping destination and the time of the year. So luckily we have label-friendly solutions for all of those constraints. And then when you move to frozen prepared sauces, it's the freeze-thaw cycles that we have to watch. So the sauce tends to break down as ice crystals grow and recede with each freeze-thaw cycle. And starches function to slow down that process, thereby extending the product quality for a longer period of time.
What about sugar reduction? I know some sauces have a surprising amount of sugar in them. Is that something you've looked at?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So in today's sugar-wary environment, developers are keen to keep sugar levels in check, you know, even in sauces. So for instance, take a sweet and sour sauce. Historically, it's been made with really high levels of sugar. I've seen formulations where the sugar actually depresses the sauce's freezing point, and that makes the sauce much more susceptible to melting and refreezing. So by the time the product reaches the consumer, it's this solid mass of sauce. And as a result, the sauce takes longer to heat and melt than the other veggies or proteins or grains in the dish. And you end up with these consumer complaints just because it's difficult to work with. So for sugar reduction projects, I work hand in hand with my sweetener counterparts, and we have an amazing line of stevia products that solve things like bitterness and aftertaste issues that a lot of developers equate stevia with as that first generation of the past. But we've come a long ways, and we have these leaf extracts and next generation fermentation derived stevia products that are really starting to function more and more like sugar. So once my sweetener colleagues tackle the levels of sweetness that the consumer is wanting, then my portfolio on the texturizing side comes back in to add that mouthfeel, coating, things like flavor release, and really intending to mirror that original product. And in the coming months, we'll have a cool new tool coming out on the texturizing side that also helps with many of these challenges. It's label friendly, and it's going to replace a commonly used bulking agent. So challenges like these are why Cargill's so well positioned to help our customers develop complete solutions to their actual problems. We're not trying to just throw ingredient over the fence and hope it sticks. We really want to help solve the challenge at hand from a solutions-based approach.
What about the trendy plant-based space? We've seen this segment gain traction with consumers, but I know there are often some significant formulation hurdles to create vegan sauces that measure up to their dairy counterparts.
Yeah, the vegan space definitely has its own set of hurdles. So obviously, it's much easier to make a sauce that inherently doesn't include dairy and gear it towards the vegan market. However, vegans, just like the rest of us, like to have mac and cheese. So if you need to create a sauce that originally contained dairy ingredients like cream, butter, cheese, the task does become more difficult. And part of this goes back to my original point. So it's a good idea to get grounded in what the consumer actually expects in terms of product performance. From there, we have a variety of tools that can help rebuild those textural components that go missing when dairy is removed from a formula. And we actually have a vegan cheese sauce prototype that uses our Simpure line of label-friendly starches. And the purpose there is to impart a creamy mouthfeel that's typically associated with dairy. And then to add back protein from a fortification standpoint, and also to replace the solids that go missing, we turn to pea protein. And then finally, we work closely with our flavor suppliers to replicate those cheesy, buttery notes that are needed to really build out that complete solution.
You mentioned our Simpure functional label-friendly starch line, which begs the question, just how has the consumer demand for label-friendly ingredients affected sauce formulation?
Probably the biggest change we've seen from some manufacturers is a move away from modified starches. So for years, modified starches were the workhorses of the starch world. They're affordable, reliable, highly functional, and they're designed to stand up to the challenges of modern food processing. But today's label-conscious consumers are increasingly attracted to simple ingredients. So in response, we're learning how to get more from these tried-and-true ingredients. And to develop our Simpure product line, we really went back to the basics, studying and quantifying all of the attributes of each individual starch in our portfolio and what those botanical sources mean and can do for your formulation. So by gaining a greater understanding of the structure and unique properties of each starch, we began to unlock their collective potential together. And using this approach, we're dramatically increasing the number of tools in our toolbox. At the same time, it's changed how we approach formulation challenges. So now we sit down with customers to determine, you know, what specific attributes and functionality they need, then look at the individual characteristics of our different starches to find that right solution for their unique situation.
What are the most common pitfalls in label-friendly sauce formulation?
So the most common thing I see is over-engineered products. Usually they've been on the market for years, and over time developers added ingredients to the formulations, but rarely is everything taken away. So there are a million reasons why this can happen. For instance, maybe the cost of eggs went up, so the product was reformulated to remove eggs, but then two or three more ingredients took their place. And then pretty soon you have this ingredient list over time that's a mile long. And unfortunately, the developer charged with cleaning up these formulations may not know why all of the ingredients were added in the first place, nor are they, you know, meant to be ingredient experts. So the challenge can get very daunting. So in these situations, I recommend for the developer to use rapid prototyping to understand what each ingredient is doing for you in the here and now. Break down the formula into its individual components to see what it is adding to the formula in terms of functionality, and then note what goes missing when you take it away. From there, you can reassess whether that function is still serving your needs today. And this process can take a little more time, but partnering with a supplier who understands consumer trends and has a broad ingredient portfolio can certainly speed up development, and that helps customers arrive at a functional, affordable option.
That makes sense. But let's dial into some of the ingredient specifics. What do formulators have to give up when they switch to something like a label-friendly starch?
You know, as it turns out, I would say not much. With our Simpure line, which includes starches from a growing list of botanical sources, we can offer a range of functionalities from, you know, creamy textures in yogurts to process tolerance in retort to added juiciness in meat alternatives. And within each of those botanical sources, we then offer different process tolerance levels. So that makes them useful, label-friendly tools that can span across not only a variety of sauce types, but application spaces too.
While label-friendly starches have come a long way, still reformulation is never easy. What's the best way to start the process?
In my view, it's good to reevaluate all the ingredients in a sauce, especially the starches and hydrocolloids, to make sure they're all necessary. Some of these recipes have been in use for a long time, but as we understand more about individual ingredients, we found developers can simplify their labels without having to sacrifice texture, viscosity, or flavor. We've done a great deal of work in this space to really understand which ingredients are most functional and necessary, and which ones can be eliminated. So as a result, we save our customers a lot of bench development time.
Great. Before I let you go, Erin, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think the big thing to remember is that we're here to help. So if you're stuck trying to brainstorm ideas on how to get started, if you need a recommendation to replace a specific functionality or ingredient, or even if you're just looking for a partner to help devise a complete solution, you know, give us a call. It's our livelihood. Our customers are the reason we exist, and we live and breathe this stuff. So don't hesitate to reach out. There are no dumb questions. The other thing I'll add is that Cargill's R&D pipeline is packed with new, promising, label-friendly ingredients. So it's going to be a very exciting year for us, and we look forward to sharing more with you in the coming months.
It's great to hear we have even more label-friendly ingredients on the way, but we'll have to leave it there for today. Thanks again, Erin, for sharing your formulation insights with our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you.